This week we have a special guest. This person's never darkened the stage of New Beginnings in this way. He darkens it every week singing. And we're so thankful to have Kevin Diggs, our worship pastor's husband, here to lead us in our word today. Kevin has been a longtime friend and confidant. I love him and appreciate him. And so let's pray over Kevin and just give the floor to him and have our hearts ready to hear. You ready to hear God's word today? Heavenly Father, we just pray for Coach Kevin today. God, the word of God, may it just come alive in him. I know he's prayed, he's studied, God, he's been in your word. And today, God, I pray that all the thoughts, all the preparation come alive as he delivers it with an anointing, God, that can only come from you. Our hearts are ready to hear it and receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I can't tell you how excited I am to be up here and to not have to be singing. Oh.
So you're just going to sit here for a second. Sorry. So I got so sidetracked with all this other stuff. And Kevin, I forgot to have an important announcement today. So I know, right? Jeez. My wife's like, you forgot to do? No. Well, that too. So 3 weeks ago. I know, dude, I am scattered, bro. 3 weeks ago. So all this time off, I don't know what to do with myself. 3 weeks ago, you know, our youth pastor and children's pastor resigned kind of unexpectedly, just kind of feeling like she was being led to go pursue some other things, and we hated to see her go. And I thought, well, God, what's next, you know? And through a series of events, God put me in touch with a young man named Eric McElhannon. And Eric, it turned out to be just as a great young man. We hired him this week, and would you stand up? This is Eric and his wife, Courtney. We want to welcome them to New Beginnings. Eric will be our generations pastor over our kids and youth. And can't wait to see what God's going to do. Much younger and more good looking than me, I know. But anyway, we're just so glad y'all are here and excited to see what God's going to do in you and through you. Sorry. And one more thing. Our plans are now in the fire marshal's hands. Just be praying that they get through his hands real quick, all right?
Interrupt anytime. Well, I was saying, I'm happy to be up here to be speaking and not singing. I get to sing all the time, but I don't always have the opportunity to speak to the congregation. And I want to say this. You know, 2 years ago, my wife and I made a really big change. We were a part of a church our entire lives. And God was putting it on my heart that it was time for a change and that we were growing into that change. And Pastor Eddie had given me a call and said, look, I'd like you to come and consider being our worship leader. And like I said, it was a difficult decision, but it was a decision I was ready for. And I just want to let you know that when we made that decision 2 years ago, it was the first day you guys welcomed us like we were here since the beginning. And I can't tell you how much I love being a part of this church and the spiritual growth that my wife and I are experiencing together and collectively with this church. We really are moving forward into some special things, and I hope you feel it too. So I want to say thank you to the people sitting in the chairs today. I love you guys. Now, I will say this. I will take issue with the lineup. When we get in the car leaving last week, I said, I got to talk to Pastor Eddie. I said, I'm not following you, Carla, anymore. So I knew that I had the tough assignment when he assigned it, that I have to follow my wife. Was that great or what? Is she anointed? God's blessed me. This word that I have for you guys today is a word that was on my mind for several months, and it started a while back. I was at work, and I was listening to a sermon, and I was busy crunching numbers, but this scripture came up, and it just kept over and over and over. You know, when God's trying to tell you something, he continues to repeat it in your heart and in your mind until it sinks in. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. It's a very familiar passage. It goes like this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now let me tell you how it went for me. I was crunching my numbers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. got up, walked around, did some other things at my job. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I went home. I was driving in my car. God would not let up. It continued to repeat in my mind. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And finally, I said, God, I get it. You're trying to tell me something. So I ran over to my Bible, opened it up, and I read it over and over and over, trying to figure out what God was saying to me. And these words began to stick out. Hunger, thirst, righteousness, and being filled. Now look, I'm a little bit of a coach. I'm a lot of coach. I watch a lot of film, and my job is to study things, to analyze and to find a way to manipulate something to where we can score, we can play good defense. And so I analyze these scriptures, and when they come out, it sticks out like that. So if a little coach comes out of me, I apologize right now. I will be a little motivating. That's how I like to preach. But blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The first thing I want to talk about is, what is this word righteousness? I've been in church all my life, and righteousness is in the Bible almost 200 times. But if I was to ask you individually, what does righteousness mean? I get a plethora of different answers. Pastor Eddie would probably give me a good answer, but everybody else would say, I don't know. Well, the dictionary simply says this: the quality of being morally right or justifiable, to be justified. I was listening to a sermon a couple years back. It was Pastor Rick Warren, and he was talking about this subject of righteousness. And he put it the most simple, easy, best way I ever heard it. Being righteous, simply put, is being right with God. Being right with God. So if you put the scripture back up, Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for being right with God, for they shall be filled. Now, let's discuss being right with God. That's not something we can do on our own, right? We can't just be right with God. Take it from a person who pushes himself in everything he does. I don't want to do it unless I'm number one. I'm going to push. But I had to figure out early in my life that being a Christian and walking with Jesus Christ is not about pushing. I can never will myself enough to not sin. See, the Bible says on our best day, we are as filthy rags. On our best day. So if we understand that righteousness means being right with God, and we cannot do it alone, what should we do? That's why our God is so great. He's so merciful. He sent us Jesus. So I want you to visualize something. Here is heaven. Here is earth. And there's a gap. There's a gap that must be bridged. Now, we are to be righteous. We are to be right with God. And if we cannot do it on our own, God says, okay, through my grace and my mercy and my love, I'm going to send my son, Jesus. And now, in order to be justified, in order to be right, we have to accept that grace and mercy and that love and accept Jesus. So now put the scripture back up for me one more time. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for Jesus, for they shall be filled. See, Jesus is righteousness. Now these other words began to stick out. And I started thinking about thirst, and I started thinking about hunger. And it occurred to me, it's two different things. It's two different meanings. That God was saying two different things to me. When we talk about thirst, the dictionary says that thirst means to have a feeling of needing or wanting something to drink, to quench the dry feeling in my body. Interesting. I can tell you that being thirsty is not always something revealed through the feeling of needing something to drink. I don't know about you guys, but I'm always running around. I have hydration problems, primarily because I don't like water. Anybody like that? I prefer a cup of coffee, a glass of iced tea. I'll even drink more than the occasional soft drink. I need the sugar, right? But I can tell you, I can always tell when the symptoms kick in when I need some water. See, for me, it's not about quenching my thirst. It's the symptoms. I start feeling lightheaded. I'm getting a headache. And I tell my wife I got a headache. She goes, you didn't drink water. And she's right. Every single time, I did not drink water. So what I'm trying to tell you is that being thirsty doesn't necessarily mean that you're not feeding something else. You're not drinking something else. But your body, your physical body is crying out for that water. Your spiritual soul is no different. You see, sometimes we don't realize that our spiritual souls are crying out. We don't realize it until the symptoms set in. Right? Think about anxiety, depression, fear, a lack of self-worth. All these are the side effects of spiritual dehydration. And we sit around in our chairs and we wonder, oh God, what is wrong with us? What's wrong with me? I can tell you that it's happened to me in the last couple of weeks. What is wrong to me? And so often God gives us a word, not just for the congregation, but for you, for me. This is for me. I suffer from spiritual hydration. I want to read one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's very interesting because it's not really about conquering or winning a war. It's not anything like this. It's probably one of the top five, if I had to rate them, and I shouldn't rate the Bible, most important stories. And there's so much in it. I don't have time to get into it. I got to speed up as it is. But we're going to read John chapter 4, 4 through 26. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living waters." "Sir," this woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can I get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of welling up eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw this water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands, wow. And the man you live with now is not your husband." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but the Jews claim that the place we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem. The Samaritans worship what they do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and now has come, when true worship will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and his worshipers will worship him in spirit and truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, will he explain this to us?" Then Jesus declared, "I am the one you speak to. I am he." I can't begin to tell you how important this is. I can dig into so many things about this scripture. The fact that she's not a Jew, she's something different. Right? The fact that she's a woman. But I want to talk about this concept of thirst. I want to let you know that when you're thirsty, God's always there. There's always a divine appointment, right? You see, it says he had to go through Samaria. I want to let you know that this meeting between the woman at the well and Jesus was set up well before time. God knew that Jesus was going to be on that spot when that woman was ready to receive. You see, this woman, you can picture her, she's laboring to the well every single day. And like my wife said last week about these wells, they're not easy. I mean, you're going all the way down to the bottom, and you're getting one cup, and you're thinking, I imagine it myself, I probably would have gave up. I'm thinking, all this to get water. But she labors every single day to this well. And so often, God deals with us in our mess, right? In our difficulty. She's walking with the difficulty, knowing she's got to get some water. She's probably a little bit of an outcast. She's by herself, right? Little does she know, when she gets to a well, she's going to meet another well. But just like this woman, you have a divine appointment. You see, if you're a creation of God, there are moments in time that we all have that were predestined. He's coming to get you, just like he came to get this woman. He's coming to quench your thirst. The other point I want you to get from this woman is that everyone has a choice. You see, I said before that God encountered her at the right time. He says to her, and it's a very interesting question, "Give me a drink." Believe me when I tell you, our Lord and Savior did not need this woman to give him a drink. He could have did any number of miracles to quench his thirst and to make himself feel better. He wasn't asking this woman for a physical drink. He was saying, "Open up your heart to me. Give me a chance to come in. Let me give you a drink." And you see, this woman was ready to receive. She has five husbands. She's living with a sick man. This is a broken woman. Anybody watch Saturday Night Live? Old school Saturday Night Live? You guys remember Eddie Murphy? Buckwheat? Whooping Penub in all the wrong places. That's what this lady was doing. She was looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, we laugh, but acceptance, right? I'll try again to be accepted. I'll go to this well of the world again and try to find something that's going to fill me. And Christ says, "No, we're going to try something different." This woman had a choice. She had a choice to continue in her mess or to say, "You know what? I've been through at least six men." That's what the Bible says. "I'm here on my own, drawing my own water. I'm tired of coming up here. Give me a drink." I'm going to ask you, have you gotten to the point where you say, "Give me a drink"? Now, my favorite part about this, because I am a worship leader, is where Christ goes with the conversation. They start talking about this water, and then God moves it. He starts talking about worship, right? He makes the conversion. He says, "You Samaritans worship what you do not know." The Jews worship what they think they know, the old laws of Moses. "But a time is coming and has now come, where those who worship the Father will worship him in spirit and in truth." He's saying to this woman, "Not only am I coming to get the Jews, but I'm coming to get you as well. And I'm about to change this whole thing." But watch what he did. It's something great. He said, "Okay, we're talking about water, but now I'm going to move it to worship." And what he's saying is, like water is to your physical body and hydration, worship is to your soul and hydration. If you leave and hear nothing else, please hear this. When your soul is crying out, find a spot and begin to lift up the name above every name and watch what happens to your soul. And I'm not talking about prayer. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a prayer request. The Bible says to enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart, to enter his courts with praise. I'm talking about no matter what mess you're in, you go, God, I just thank you. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my house and my cars, and I got a roof, and then I woke up, and then I'm healthy. I thank you for my problems, because at least if I got problems, I know I'm alive. And then you start praising and worshiping him. You are worthy to be praised. Courts with thanksgiving, and then worship with praise. That's what's going to quench your thirst. So if we replace the word again, those who hunger and worship after Jesus shall be filled. Break these things apart. It's like a little offense or defense. You can start scoring touchdowns. So I'm getting excited now, right? I'm reading this thing. I'm like, all right, man, God's speaking to me. I'm like, this is awesome. Maybe I can run my wife for a little while. And we started talking about hunger, right? Now, I don't want you to think of hunger the same way as thirst. I want you to think of hunger a little bit differently. I'm a coach. I like to get my guys excited. I want you to think of hunger as drive. What are you hungry for? Right? What drives you? Now, there's this interesting part where the disciples, they come back and they start talking about hunger, right? In John 4, verse 27 through 38. Just then the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked him, what do you want? What are you talking to her for? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. The disciples said to each other, could have someone have brought him some food? Jesus, you got to imagine right now, he's getting a little frustrated, right? Come on, people. You're walking with me. You're following me. Are you not getting it? My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you say it's still 4 months until the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows as the other one reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits for your labor. Now think about the disciples. They are the closest ones to Jesus. You know what they are? They're church people. He talked to the Samaritan woman, the non-church woman. He quenched her thirst. You know what's funny? She got it like that. Sometimes it's easy to talk to a senator than a church person. It's the truth. And these disciples are walking with God. All these miracles. And they still don't get it. You see, they believe that Jesus came back to deliver them from the Romans, right? He's going to build this big old kingdom on earth. And they're even fighting sometimes on who's going to sit on the right side. They were hungry for something they shouldn't have been hungry for. They didn't see the big picture. How many of us don't see the big picture? What are you hungry for? For wealth? For a career? For a relationship? What drives you? I can tell you in this area, achievement and stature drives this area. Look at me. You guys seen Facebook lately? Picture. Look at me. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I love looking at your pictures. I love you people. I don't type very much. My wife does that, but I like clicking. But what are you hungry for? What is your drive for? You see, the disciples were driven for a wrong reason. God's like, look around. The harvest is ready. It's ripe. He's saying the same thing to you. If you would stop worrying about your finances and your career and you're about my will, I'm going to take care of that. You just need to be about my Father's work. So what are you hungry for? I want to show you something cool. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase because I'm strapped for time here, but two people were filled in this scripture, two of them. The first one was the woman. Remember, she went to the well. She brought that pail, grinding it out. I'm a grinder. You guys grind? She's grinding. She's filling up that pail. She's filling up that. If you noticed in the scripture, she left that pail. She forgot what she came for. Because what she received was better than what she came for. See, some of you think that in your difficulty, that it's just another day to grind. And I'm telling you, God will meet you in your difficulty. When you think I'm going to get water, he's like, okay, I got some water for you. You're never going to thirst again because this time I know you're ready to be filled. It's another person who's filled. Remember, Jesus was sitting at the well. He was tired. He was thirsty. He was hungry. The disciples run. They run back with the food. Rabbi, eat something. To the point of frustration, he says, look around you. I've eaten. I've been about my Father's work. One of the scriptures that God has revealed to me over and over and over, because he's speaking to me, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh from the mouth of God. Every word. Stop fighting for your own bread. Stop worrying about it. I promise you, if you are about your Father's business, about your Father's work, he will supply all your needs. But you must hunger and thirst after being right with him. You must hunger and thirst for Jesus in order to be filled. Not the things of the world, because there are lots of substitutes. Lots of them. And we get caught up in them every single day. John 6, verse 35 says, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. You know, there's so much in my sermon, and I've skipped a little bit, but I want you to, God said this to me just this week. He's never stopped dropping manna from heaven. He's never stopped. It's still coming down. It's in the form of the money you receive for your labor. It's in the form of your relationships and your family. He's still supplying all your needs according to his riches and glory. Now, if you run around trying to please the world and use a substitute, you'll never be filled. But if you're about his purpose, you will be filled. But there's a key to that. Remember, that you got to get to that well every day. You got to worship Jesus so you can be filled. And when you're filled, you can go out and they'll see that well springing up inside of you. And people will be able to feed off that well. And it's going to be like a disease that catches in a good way. Because you want to see what this woman did? After she was filled, she left her pail and she ran to the town and said, come see what just happened to me. Do you want to be filled today? Y'all stand up. I want to pray for you guys. I want to encourage you. That's what I do as a coach. I encourage people. I want to make you believe that you have more inside of you, because that's what Christ wants you to believe. We all have more inside of us, more we can give. And if you just are about his work, I promise the manna will never stop falling. He'll always be here. So if you want to hunger and thirst for Jesus, if you want to hunger and thirst for righteousness, I would ask you to come down right now. Leave your place and just walk right now. Come down and be filled. Thank you, Jesus. You know, there's this little scripture tucked away. It's Psalm 63, verse 1. It was when King David was running from his son Absalom. He was in a dry place, and he needed to be filled. It's a great example of what we should do when we need to be filled. He said, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. He's a living example of what we should do when we're in a dry, parched land in our souls. Do you want to be filled? Lord God, I thank you for these people. I thank you for this church, New Beginnings, Lord God, that we have these people in it that are hungry and they are thirsty for your righteousness and they want to be filled, Lord God, with your presence, with your peace, with your anointing. They want to be healed, Lord God. And not just to be healed, because they want to go out, Lord God, and spread the good news. Lord God, I hear it. Hear their cries, Lord God, to be filled. I praise you, Lord God, and I thank you. Hear their cries, Lord God. A fresh touch, a fresh anointing, Lord God. Pour it to him, your spirit. A double portion, Lord God. Like Elisha asked for Elisha, a double portion, Lord God. To where they never thirst and hunger again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's ready to fill you today. He's ready to fill you today. Jesus. That's the living waters coming out. That is living waters coming out right there. That is living waters. I encourage you to let it flow. Let it flow out of your mouths. Let it flow, because once it starts to flow, you can never shut it off again. I promise you, you'll never want to shut it off again, because it's going to come and spring up a well in your soul. Jesus. Lord God, I thank you for these people. I thank you, Lord God, that we have willing and open hearts to do your will. Bless these people, Lord God, in their comings and goings. Be like a sweet sound in their ear every single morning. Like an alarm clock that said, it's time for me and you to get together. It's time for me to fill you with my spirit. It's time for me to pour into you so you can be my hands and my feet. Lord God, we love you. We thank you and we praise you today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.